We have enough people telling us all the bad stuff that we are. We have enough people telling us that God can't use us or because of this and because of that. I want to tell you, God can use anything. My grandmother used to joke, and she said, she called me Jeannie. Is that all right? I was Jeannie. She said, Jeannie, God can use a stump. And I don't know what she meant by that. I put it in a book that I wrote. I put that in there. And anyway, she said, God can use a stump. But God can use anybody. I just believe that if he could speak to Balaam through a donkey, started to use that other word, but if he could use a donkey, he could use anybody, anything. All right. The Apostle Paul is writing to the book of the Church of Galatia. He's talking about them, and he really wasn't giving them a great big compliment. Now, I'm here to give you a compliment today. But Paul wasn't giving them a big compliment. You see, he was the one that went there and shared the gospel with them. He is the one who birthed that church. He did all of those things, and he writes in verse 19 of the fourth chapter of Galatians, and I'm just going to put it in my words. Can I do that? He said, it looks like I'm going to have to birth you guys again. I'm going to have to do it again. You see, let me go read it. In that scripture, it says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He said, it looks like I'm going to have to do that. Well, I don't think I'm going to have to do that. First of all, I wasn't the one that preached the gospel to you, so I didn't birth it. So all of you, probably all of you received Jesus without my help. I wasn't the one that came and preached, did all those things to you. But I'm going to ask you a question. Is Christ being formed in you? You see, Jesus said, and I sang this a while ago, I will build my church. That's a process. You know, all of us, I think, are still in the process. Now, we're already saved, and I thank God for that. I thank God that we have received Jesus Christ, because that's where it begins. It begins through our salvation. I like what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. He said, there's a mystery. He was talking about a mystery in the church. He says, and that mystery is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, a lot of times when we read that particular verse of Scripture, and I think she's putting them all up here, hallelujah. When we read that verse of Scripture, when we think about it, we'll say, Christ in you is the hope of heaven. No, that's not what it said. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I believe in heaven. I believe that there is a place that we have eternity with God. Yes. But when it talks about the hope of glory, it's talking about it, his presence. Him being in us, we being in him. And him being glorified through us. But it's Christ in us. That's the hope of that glory. You know, that's what you received when you received Jesus. You received a new nature. You received a new person on the inside. The old man is dead. You know, I heard someone say one time, I didn't even know he was sick, but he's dead. He was sick, by the way. But there's a new person alive inside of us. And that's where it all begins. It begins with receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. John, writing in John chapter 3, verse 3, he says this. He says that you must be born again. In fact, in John 3, 3, it says, Jesus answered, said to him, that was Nicodemus, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. And so it started with us being born again. Now, do you know it goes further than that? It goes further than that. Not only is this Christ that's being formed in us, and he wants to make this his dwelling place, not only Christ being formed in us through our salvation, but he is in that process using the Holy Spirit. You see, it's Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. It's Christ saving us because we come to him and we have been born again. But you know, Jesus said, we're going to receive something else. We're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I could ask you right now, all to lift your hands if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I'm not going to have you do that. Because I believe most of us in here are already filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there may be some exceptions to that, and you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. You can even be born again today. You can receive Jesus today. But I know that most of us, because this is what kind of a church? This is a Pentecostal church, right? And that Pentecostal experience is receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And most of us in here probably already speak in tongues. But I want you to take a look at what Jesus said. In John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16, it goes, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He says, then I'm going to pray the Father. I'm going to go and I'm going to pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he might abide with you. Another helper. He says, I'm going to go to the Father. And because I go to my Father, things are going to happen. Verse 12, just before that, I've sent him my scriptures for the message today so he could put it in the back of the bulletin. And that's fine, but sometimes I add some other stuff with it. Is that all right? Just a few verses before that, in verse 12, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do. Why? Because I go to my Father. Then he tells us, in verse 16, I'm going to go to the Father, and I will pray to the Father, and I'm going to ask him to do something. Now, in that verse 12 that I just quoted to you a moment ago, it says, these things that I do, all these great works, all this, you're going to do. Why? Because I go to my Father. When he went to the Father, he asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit. We all know the history of that, probably. But on the day of Pentecost, right after Jesus had died on the cross, been resurrected, and then had been among his disciples for a period of time, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that God poured out the Holy Spirit. And when he poured out the Holy Spirit, they all received. 120 people in an upper room. 120 people in an upper room. I don't know how many people we got here today. I don't think it's quite 120, but we got a bunch of people here. What if God had spoken to you? And what if he said, now don't you leave here until you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise that they didn't really understand what was going to happen. Would y'all leave or would you wait? Now, only you can answer that. But you know what? These people, they just had a promise. Jesus said, do not depart from Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Jesus said that, and they obeyed, 120 of them. You know, sometimes I have this little imagination. I've had a good imagination most of my life, but every once in a while I have this little cynical imagination. You know, Simon Peter was always the one that had hoof and mouth disease. You know, he'd open his mouth and say the right thing at the wrong time and the wrong thing at the right time. You know, that was Simon Peter. And so my imagination goes sort of like this. What if Simon Peter would have done like he did before I ain't staying up there for 10 days. I ain't staying up there for one day. I'm going to go fishing again. What if he'd have done that? He'd have missed out, wouldn't he? But he didn't. He obeyed. And they were 10 days in that upper room waiting. That was before right guard. Some of you got that. And I'm sure they didn't have bottled water from Zephyr Hill. You know, those are things that they didn't have. But they stayed in that room 10 days, waiting for what? Whatever it was that God wanted to send them. And we know that it was the Holy Spirit. Just before that, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus was talking to his disciples. His disciples were asking him questions. It's amazing when you go and read what the Word actually says sometimes. Because here's the disciples asking Jesus questions. You know, when are you going to come back? When are you going to reestablish the kingdom in Israel? When are you going to do this? You know, that says something to me. That says that Jesus' disciples did not understand his mission yet. They had been with him for 3.5 years. They had done all of those, and they'd seen all of those mighty works. They'd done all of those things with Jesus. But they still didn't quite understand. They kept looking at natural Israel. We're looking at natural Israel today, many of us. They kept looking at all of those things. And they said, when are you going to reestablish all of this? And you know, Jesus was very kind. He said, boys, that ain't none of your business. No, that's not how he said it. Our King James Version says it a little bit better than that. But he says, you know what? That you don't have to be concerned about. That's the Father's business. But what I'm going to tell you is what you need to be concerned about. He said in verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the entire whole earth. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. You see, if Christ is going to be formed in us, if we're going to be like Jesus, if we're really going to be the temples of the living God, like that last little song that I sang this today, if we're going to be that, we need to first be born again, but then we need the Holy Spirit power within us. And God uses the Holy Spirit to transform that old flesh that we're living in. He's making it into a temple for Him. And it's a process. I'd like to know that, let you know that you can snap your fingers and just, you know, it's instantaneous, instant pudding, instant, you know, we're instant generation, aren't we? But God's working on us. He's working on the inside. He's bringing forth by His Holy Spirit the man or the woman that He wants us to be. And that's a process. By faith, it's already happened. But it's in the operation of the Holy Spirit day by day that God is working on the inside. But you know, not only does He use our salvation to start the process, and then He brings the Holy Spirit into our lives to help us deal with all of the circumstances and situations we're in. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the courage and also gives us the endurance. I don't like that word endurance. That means there's something to endure. You know, and I don't like to endure stuff. I don't know about Pastor Paul, but I just don't like to endure things. I like to have it instant potatoes. But no, there are things that we have to experience. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit in us. But you know how He does it? By the Word. By the Word of God. Over in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 105. I like that. It's one of those that I think a lot of us learned all the way back there in the beginning of our walk with God, or even before that. I learned this verse back whenever I was a kid and didn't really understand that Jesus had died on the cross for me, because my parents used to read the Word. Every night they would read the Word and pray over us kids. I want to tell you, David said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." How is it that we're being formed into the image of Jesus? Yes, by salvation. Yes, by the Holy Spirit. But the word is working. Oh, I like David Ingalls' old song. He says, "The word is working mightily in me." No matter what the circumstance, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. And so we get that word in us. And that word works. So God is using the word to help us be conformed to the image of Jesus. Remember, Paul said, "It looks like I'm going to have to work on you guys again, birth you again, so that you can be made in the image of Jesus." Because evidently they were not doing the things that he had taught them to do. But I'm not talking to those people today, I'm talking to us. God is working on us. I wasn't the one that birthed you, but I want to tell you that I want to help God perfect you. That's all my motive is today, is to help God perfect you. And so, he's already started it with your salvation. Most of us here today are filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit within us, and the Word is working mightily in us day by day as we get that Word in us. You know, we started memorizing the Word when we were just little kids. We'd memorize it. Memorize those scriptures. Vacation Bible school in the Baptist church where I went. I mean, we used to have sword drills. You know what a sword drill is? That's where you get your Bible. And you got your Bible down here in your left hand or your right, whichever one. And then they say a scripture. Attention! Draw swords, and you put your Bible up in front of you. Charge. And you first one to get there and get it steps out. Gets to read it. And we memorize scripture that way. We memorize the book that way. Why? Because we understood that the word is powerful and the word works. The more word we have in us, the more God can bring to us in time of need. You know, Jesus made a statement one day to his disciples. He said, "In that day, you won't even have to think about what you're going to reply because you will know it. It'll come forth." But I have an impression, and I can't prove this, but I believe it'll come forth because it's already been put in there by our time spent in the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, how are we going to be conformed to the image of Jesus? We're going to be conformed by our salvation, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by the Word that is working mightily in us. But not only that, in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church. And this is where I'm really starting my message right now. I'm saying, "Now, wait a minute, you've been talking all this time and you hadn't started your message." I'm getting to the heart, and I'm not going to take long. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, 13. Let's read it. Ephesians 4, I think it's up there. Yes, it is. "Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." He says he's done that for these reasons, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. I got to stop. Who are the saints? Oh, Saint Michael. Saint James, if there's any Michaels in here and you know Jesus, I just called your name. If there's any James in here and you know Jesus, I just called your name. You know why? You're saint. We got the impression that the saints are all of those people who were so holy and so separated from the world that the church finally put a stamp on them. And we're going to pray to St. Jude. Or, you know, I'm not against St. Jude. They have a beautiful operation down there in Memphis, up there in Memphis, Tennessee. It used to be down from where I lived, but now it's up. But You know, Saint Jude, he was a good guy. He was Jesus' brother. Did you know that? But those are not all the saints. Ron's a saint. Saint Ron. Paul over here, saint. What's your name, my friends? Skip? Thomas? That's all right. Skip's fine. Saint Skip. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, now, wait a minute. I wouldn't do that. You're being silly, Brother Gene. Yeah, I thought you'd get silly every once in a while. But, you know, this is what we need to understand. The scripture says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Now, I'm ministering this morning, and I'm going to speak, I believe, to a whole bunch of you before this meeting is over with. But I'm ministering to you, but do you know, Sister Rouse, you're a minister. Did you know that? You probably learned that from your husband, too, didn't you? Hallelujah. Did you know that every one of us who are in Christ are being conformed to the image of Jesus, yes, by our salvation, by the Holy Spirit, by the Word, but also by the ministries that we're going to talk about here. It says He has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, that's you, for the work of the ministry. You're the ministers too. Every time I walk out the door, I'm Gene May. I walk out the door, get in my car and go someplace, and I get out. I'm a minister. Now, I've got a paper that says that. It's got it ordained and all of that kind of stuff on it. But, you know, I don't go around with a sign on me say I'm Pastor May or I'm Prophet May. I don't do that. I go around just acting like normal people. At least I try to. Now, I don't do all the cussing and fussing that a lot of normal people do, if you want to call that normal. But I just greet people. I like to walk by folks and say, how y'all doing today? I like to say, oh, that's a beautiful dress you've got on. By the way, I like that shirt, that t-shirt right there. I didn't ask for it. I just said I like it. Hallelujah. But, you know, this is the kind of thing that we ought to do. Now, let me get back into the message. You see, He said, He Himself, that's Jesus, gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Not for those five to do all the work of the ministry, but to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. That's why we've got somebody that stands up here, sometimes bores you a little bit, sometimes makes you laugh a little bit, sometimes makes you cry a little bit. That's why we're doing that. Ministering to your need. Not the boring part, by the way. But God wants us to understand that He put those ministries here. I came this morning representing today one of those ministries. Because in 1973, when God baptized us in the Holy Spirit, that's 50 years ago this year, when He baptized us in the Holy Spirit, 10 days after receiving the Holy Spirit, we went to a meeting like this. I was sitting on the end of the second row with my wife. And this guy they called a prophet, because I didn't believe in prophets in those days, but I went out of curiosity. You ever done something just out of curiosity? Yeah, I'm going to go and look and see. Say, somebody told me that a prophet was going to be speaking in this little Baptist church. And so I went out of curiosity, sat there with my wife, and this guy comes and says that I'm a prophet. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. But you see, it says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Those five ministries were put in the church to equip us, for us to be built up. And today, I'm here. Yes, I have a prophetic anointing, and I'm going to prophesy to a number of people here. Already, God has been showing me different people that He wants me to speak to. And I'm going to do that. But I want you to understand something. Those five ministries are not here to do all of the ministry for you, because all of us have been called. All of us have been anointed. All of us have let that Christ be formed in us. At least that's what God desires. And so it's happening. I believe it. And so He says, and I want to read that again, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And how long are we going to do it? Until something happens. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And then that last part is what we're talking about today. That last part is to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He wants us to be like Jesus. Sometimes I have a little fun with people whenever I'm teaching. I'll ask them, what is the will of God for you? And every once in a while, somebody will be a little smart aleck, and they'll say, well, you're the prophet, you tell us. And that's all right. I can stand that. But do you know what I mean by that? When I ask you what the will of God is, now all of us have a will for our lives. I believe God has a plan for Ron here. I believe God has a plan for Skip. And you know, I've forgotten your name. You told me a while ago, but Linda, God has got a will plan for her life. Now, but the Bible teaches us that the will of God for every one of us is to be conformed to the image of His Son. To be like Jesus. That's the real answer for us to be like Jesus. And so God has put those five ministries in the church. Yes, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. Whenever I teach on that subject of those five ministries, I like to use the hand. You ever notice the thumb on your hand? It's the only finger that can reach out and touch every other finger. The apostle is that kind of ministry. And the prophet is like the pointer, that first finger, that index finger. And the evangelist like the middle finger, that's the longest one. And then pastor, of course, that's the one with the ring on it. That's the one to stand until Jesus comes, ministering and feeding the flock. But then the teacher's that little one, like the little finger, sticking your ear to clean it out so you can hear. Now, that's a little amusing, I know. But God wants to use the prophet this morning. That's why I used this finger. Had a little girl down in Columbia not long ago came up to me. She said in Spanish to me, Brother Gene, you know it's not nice to point. And I said, honey, you're right. It's not nice to point. But I have to do that to make sure people know who I'm talking about. And so, I'm using the pointer this morning. You see, the prophet ministry not only can speak about the past, you know, sometimes we've been through things and we don't know why, and we don't know why those things happened in our lives, and we're confused. And the prophet shows up and he says, this is what's happened in your life, and this is what God wants to do now. And we bring healing and relation with God stronger and stronger. But the prophet also speaks about the future. I like that part, don't you? I like to know what the future is. I like to know what God's going to do in my life down the road a few years. Yeah. Sometimes he doesn't speak very far out there. Sometimes he speaks to the present. And so often that's what I see God doing. He starts talking about what you're dealing with right now, in your circumstances, in the situation that you may be in your life. And so God begins to bring the prophetic word, dealing with past, yes, also revealing the future, but also talking about the things that we're experiencing right now, so that we will know how to deal with them and how to let God lead us through them. Now, how does God create Jesus Christ in us? Number one, salvation. Number two, the Holy Spirit. Number three, the Word of God. Number four, by those ministries that he has put in the church. I want to encourage you. God's for you. And God is causing you to be able to know his will and his purposes in your life, so that Christ can be formed in you the way God desires it. Father, I want to thank you for your word today. And I thank you, Lord, that you are working in us. You're causing us to understand your will and your purpose for each one of our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.